angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
On today's program, we're going to tell you exactly where to find paradise here on Earth. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Yes, that's a clickbait type title, but we want you to keep watching for this program because this is an important one. It helps to understand the concept of paradise and why it is relevant to a physical location here on Earth. Joining me on the panel today, Messianic Rabbi and the man behind Messiah of Israel Ministries. Yeshua grabbed him, wouldn't let him go, our friend Rabbi Zev Peratt. Zev, Shalom. Welcome. And the man who has become a good friend of us here at Skywatch TV, we're honored to have him back. Best-selling author and the longtime pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church. They aren't tired of him yet, praise God. The author of Rabbi Who Found Messiah, Gods and Thrones, and the new book Gods of Ground Zero. The source of our discussion today, Pastor Carl Gallops.
Thank you. Welcome. But I don't mind telling you, your pause scared me. The man who is, and you hung your head and shook it, and I said, oh my gosh, what's he going to say? Thank you. Good recovery.
Trying to think of the words. And
I feel the same about you guys. Well, God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Brother, this is an interesting discussion. I'm actually going to open with the conversation with you, Zev. You and Carl have become friends over the last several years based on the connection over the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah.
Yes. But
your insight as to the Jewish understanding and the Hebrew understanding of the Old Testament scriptures really informs what Carl has written in this book here. When we English speakers use the word paradise, as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, that is a different meaning. It had a different meaning when the people around the cross on Calvary heard it than we English speakers. So what did it mean to those who heard that then, and how is that relevant to Carl's book?
Well, if we go to Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
So we understand heaven as being heavens.
And
heaven.
We assume that's where paradise is.
That's true. But in Hebrew, that word is never used again by any Orthodox Jew or by any traditional Jew ever again. The only time they use the word Shamayim is only in Genesis 1:1. Every other place they use the word paradise, which is a Gan Eden, which is what? The throne of God, the kingdom of God, the place of restoration. So that means that when a Jew says, I'm going to heaven, what does he say? He says, I'm going to Gan Eden. I'm going to paradise.
Yeah. And why? The literal words there, Gan, garden, Eden, Eden.
The Garden of Eden. That's right. The place where it is right now. So God is using this for what? To bring the Jews into salvation. That's why it is so important that the Christians around the world get this book, because we're called to be ambassadors for the kingdom. We're called to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Paul speaks about this in Romans 11:11. How can you provoke them to jealousy if you don't know how to provoke them? Well, we need to understand that for a Jew, the word heaven is the word paradise, which is the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden. And go to a five-year-old boy in Israel and ask him, he'll tell you, Gan Eden is heaven. And it matches exactly what the Bible says, that God is going to restore everything to the original state, Gan Eden. And where is Gan Eden? It's right here on earth. And I'm sure you can elaborate.
I was just agreeing with you, and I was just going to say, the last chapter, the last words of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, says, and there is the paradise of God, there's the throne of God, the Lamb is there, the river of life flows from it, and the tree of life is there. And there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering, no more death. Right. Why? Our divine nature has been restored, the restitution of all things because of the work and the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, it moves from Genesis 3 to Revelation 22. Actually, Genesis 1 and 2 are very important, but I mean, in Genesis 3, we get the first terrorist attack in human history, ground zero, in the garden, in Gan Eden. which was meant to be the holy gathering place and fellowshipping place of the divine realm, the earthly realm, God's family in heaven and on earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, "Behold, we have been given the mystery of what God's up to. He is in the process of bringing everything in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ." And so that process started in the garden when he closed the doors to it and sealed it off because of the profanity that took place there that brought it all down. The whole rest of the biblical story is this cosmic war between Satan trying to claim the Garden of Eden, the earthly realm, the spiritual realm as his own throne. He wants to dethrone God. And the whole biblical story talks about how God, the Lamb slain before the foundation world, he's way ahead of Satan. He knew what was going to happen. He's in the process of restoring it first through the nation of Israel, then through the Word and the prophets. He's bringing it in. Then through Messiah, who would come, the cross, the tomb, the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit given, the gospel preached, and then eventually, boom, the return of Jesus Christ. Where does he come back? Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives. Mm-hmm.
So we see, like, we understand as believers in Jesus, in Yeshua, that the picture of the thief on the cross, and when Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise in Gan Eden," we understand that it's a picture of grace, of if you call on the name of Jesus, you can be saved no matter what, that, which is true. Mm-hmm. But the Jews there, they understood what he was saying. He was saying, "Today you will be with me in heaven." Mm-hmm. "You'll be with me where the kingdom is." Mm-hmm. "You'll be with me where my throne is, in Gan Eden." And that's why when in Psalms 22, when King David says, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" The Pharisees knew that prophecy was being fulfilled, and they understood what he was telling the thief on the cross, the kingdom. And that's what this book is actually talking about.
And, you know, it's fascinating because the temple, you know, the entrance to the temple was to the east, correct?
Yes.
The temple, the entrance to the tabernacle when it was in Shiloh was to the east, right?
That's right, that's right.
Okay, and just like the entrance to Eden was to the east.
Exactly, and when did Jesus, Yeshua, proclaim himself to be the light of the world? When he was in Solomon's porch, I think it's John chapter 8, verse 12, on the feast of dedication, which is Hanukkah, and where does Solomon's porch is pointing where? Eastward. Eastward is where? The Mount of Olives. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He descended to the Mount of Olives. And that's why he told the Pharisees, "I am the light of the world." The glory of God was right there with them in the temple, pointing eastward.
Huh. In Gods of Ground Zero, I document the fact that even the Muslim world, the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, there is a cornerstone where it's inscribed in Arabic, "This is the cornerstone of the Garden of Eden," right there. Even the Muslims, see, Satan is saying, "This is mine. It's mine. Yeah. I took it. It's mine." And even the Orthodox Jews understand, and there's so much writing, and there's even a memorial there too. And I've got it all documented in my book on the Temple Mount. This is the Garden of Eden. That's right. That's where it was. Hmm. Where was Jesus? Right in that vicinity. That's where he knelt in a garden, gave it back to God, "Not my will but yours." That's where he was on the cross. That's where he turned to the thief. "Today you will be with me in the Garden of Eden."
That's right.
It's right there.
And this would explain why there has to be a cherub over there guarding it. Why there, if he threw Adam out of the garden, why does he need a cherub to guard it?
Right.
Because it's right there.
It's right there.
It's right there.
Right in that dimension, right through that dimension. I know people have a hard time, not on your show so much, because you guys talk about it so much, and Josh and Christina Peck and all these guys, you talk about the reality of multiple dimensions, but the truth, it's right before our eyes. I use this quick little illustration of the sea life, the creatures at the bottom of the deepest levels, 4 or 5 miles deep in the ocean. They have no idea that if they could come up through the blackness of 5 miles of water, break through the surface, become a human so they could experience it and look around, right there all along, watch this, wrapped around them on a globe are 7 billion humans, 25 million other creatures, forms of life. Mm-hmm. And then you leave there and there's an atmosphere, and you leave there and there's the stars and the moon and the sun. You leave there, there's galaxies. You leave there, there's the universe. And the creatures at the bottom of the ocean had no idea that there were multiple dimensions of physical reality around them, above them, amongst them, but they just weren't equipped to see it. The whole Word of God tells us that from the beginning. There are multiple dimensions of reality. God does not exist in the universe or in a dimension of reality. He created the universe and the dimensions of reality. He's above, he's over and over everything. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, when God takes the children of Israel out of Egypt, he says, "I'm going to take you to a place where I have put my name." Where was that? Where did he take them? Jerusalem.
That's right.
Where was Jesus' whole last of his ministry? Jerusalem. What's it all about? Where's he coming back? Jerusalem. Where's his throne of judgment going to be? Bible says Jerusalem. Where's the angels going to be judged? Jerusalem. Where is Satan going to be judged? Isaiah says in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. Isaiah says that. Mm-hmm. Satan will be judged there. I mean, it's just astounding. The Garden of Eden connected. Jesus there telling the thief on the cross, today you will be with me. Our English translations say paradise, and that's correct. But the Hebrew mind heard, today you will be with me in the Garden of Eden. And he could have winked at him and said, by the way, it's just right there. And as soon as we leave this physical realm, take my hand, I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you there. I mean, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. In a previous program, you mentioned that Jerusalem is where God placed his name. And we're going to tell you that that's actually more literal than you have been taught when Skywatch TV returns after this.
From the Garden of Eden to our current day, dark Luciferian entities have worked to destroy mankind, while biblical prophecy points to a soon coming war between earthly governments and a clash of colossal proportions. Dr. Thomas Horn says you cannot understand much of the Bible unless you read and grasp the revelations in the Gods of War Super Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive The Alliance of Evil, the groundbreaking new book by Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, which unveils the prophetic new dual Cold War between the U.S., Russia, and China unfolding across the global spectrum now. The Gods of Ground Zero, that explains the supernatural forces operating behind current global events. And The Last Clash of the Titans, which analyzes the most overlooked prophecies in the Bible and explains how Jesus Christ himself will soon go to war against the gods of antiquity. But with this three-volume critical collection, you'll also receive completely free of charge the brand new, never-before-released, full-length DVD, War of the Gods. Volume 1, Search for the Titans. Walk one-on-one with your personal guides, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, through a tour of the Holy Land, including Shiloh, Bethel, and Mount Hermon. You will see where the final battle between God and the rebel angels will take place. And you'll explore for yourself Sardinia's megalithic tombs of the giants, their connection to the ancient Canaanites, and the final battle. And that's not all. You'll also receive, for a very limited time, the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas R. Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake, Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. But we're still not done. Skywatch TV's Off the Record series is back by popular demand with a brand new, never-before-aired DVD, The Gods of War Edition, featuring exclusive interviews with Detective Carl Gallops, Senior Pentagon Analyst Robert McGinnis, Derek and Sharon Gilbert on the coming hyper-battle between the forces of God and the titans of biblical prophecy. This content is only available in this exclusive offer and will not be aired anywhere else. Included for a limited time with the Gods of War Super Collection. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of $220. All six items, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This, without a doubt, is the largest special offer of the summer and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Gods of War Super Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, Rabbi Zev Peratt of Messiah of Israel Ministries and Pastor Carl Gallops, the author of the new book, Gods of Ground Zero. And we're talking, of course, about Jerusalem, where God, Yahweh, has placed his name forever. You document something in the book here and show with maps exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
God has literally placed his name in Jerusalem.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to give this quick teaching, then Zev can back it up and fill in. But the bottom line is this. The 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet is spoken. We would speak it in English. We would pronounce it Shin. And it's shaped kind of like our W, mm-hmm. kind of like, okay? It's got three prongs, and the middle one's a little shorter than the others, and it's got a little slant to it in the ancient way of writing it. But it's called the Shin. That one letter, and I've read a lot of Hebrew scholarly works on why does that one letter represent the name of God, that one letter. The Aleph, the first letter, also represents God, but the Shin represents the name of God.
Mm-hmm. El Shaddai.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of them say, but it comes from El Shaddai, where Shin starts Shaddai.
Okay.
And so that's what a lot of people have focused in on. I speak of that in my book.
God of the mountain, El Shaddai?
Yeah.
So, God of the Mount of Assembly.
The Mount of Assembly, yeah.
And where's that Temple Mount? Where's that
interestingly,
Zion? Where's that Jerusalem?
And this is just a quick left turn, but there were pagan gods in the ancient world that were known by a similar epithet. Bel Shaddai an epithet applied to the pagan god Amuru, the god of the Amorites.
That's right.
Because anytime you have something in the Bible, Satan comes with a counterfeit.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Always.
Exactly.
It's always spiritual warfare.
God has his Messiah. Satan's getting ready to bring his Messiah.
Right.
On and on and on. God raised back his nation, Israel. Satan's raising his Ottoman Empire right now before our eyes.
Right.
As always. Okay. So watch. So the Shin represents the name of God, probably because of the attachment to El Shaddai. Yeah. Okay? Now, that Shin appears on every mezuzah, the little prayer scripture box from Deuteronomy 6 on the doorpost mm-hmm. and of Hebrew homes and businesses and Messianic Hebrews and Jews and et cetera. Christians. I've got one on my house just because.
I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah. But what's the symbol that's on the mezuzah? A Shin. The W, if you will, but it's the Hebrew letter Shin. Okay, now, so there's the name of God. What does that mean? The name of God is on this house. The name of God, the name, the power of God. Okay. God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he said to them, I'm going to take you to the place where I have put my name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this becomes profound. He takes them to what we call Israel, but mainly, the centerpiece is Jerusalem and Mount Zion and eventually the Temple Mount. It's all right there. Now, we go up into the time when God puts on flesh, the Word becomes flesh, and here's Jesus in the last week of his life. He's going to Jerusalem. He'll be crucified there, resurrect from the grave there. He will ascend to heaven there. He will come back there. He will judge the angels there. He will judge Satan there. I mean, everything's about that Temple Mount. It's about Jerusalem. All right. That's where he told the thief, today you'll be with me in Garden of Eden. Okay. So here we are. God says, I have put my name there. Now let's go to the time of Jesus. He's coming in that eastern gate on the back of a donkey. The crowds are there, maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands. I mean, there were a million people in the whole area, and they all know about Jesus. He's raised Lazarus a couple weeks earlier. He's had 3 years of ministry. People know he's coming in. He comes in, and the Pharisees come to him because the people are calling him Messiah ben David. Hosanna to Messiah ben David, the son of David,
right.
which is the mm-hmm, final, mm-hmm. Ultimate Messiah, the one that will bring in the heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Here he comes. The Pharisees say, go to Jesus, say, you tell your disciples, I'm going to use our word, to shut up. This is heresy. This is blasphemy. You tell him. Jesus' response was, I could do that. I think Jesus had a smile on his face. And he said, I could do that, but if I did, the rocks would cry out my name. Now, we always say, well, isn't that a cute little metaphorical thing? Well, here's the truth. When I was in Israel 20 years ago, our tour guide took us out. He was in the Israeli Defense Forces. Now he's an Israel tour guide. At the time, older than me, just a great guy. We hit it off. We're up on top looking down over Mount, looking down at Jerusalem. He pulls out a map. He's showing everybody now, here's the Temple Mount. See it? Yes. And here it is here. And he's giving the relational. When he was finished, his name is Dan. I asked him for permission, and I knew he would let me because we'd become good friends. I said, Dan, can I show you something right in front of everybody? He said, sure. And I took my finger, and I said, tell me what you see. And I started at the top of the Kidron Valley, which runs on the eastern side of the Temple
mm-hmm,
Mount.
Mm-hmm.
I followed it down to the bottom of Zion, and then it connects with the Tyropian Valley, which runs up the middle just a little ways, kind of slants. And then I came back down. Then I kept going with the connection and went up the Hinnom Valley, which comes up on the other side. I said, what do you see? Here were his words. Oh, my God. The name of God is on our city.
It's a Shin.
He said, that's what he said.
He
said, it's a Shin. He said, And he actually said, "Oh my God." I would say, "Oh my gosh." But that's what he said. I'm just telling him, I'm quoting him. He was overwhelmed. He said, "I've never seen this before." He said, "God's name is on our city." And then I started quoting scripture where God said, "This is where I have put my name. I have put my name here." Why? Because since the Garden of Eden, that has been where God said, "This is mine. This is where I will fellowship with the divine realm and the earthly realm. Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, this is mine." I even carved my initials in the dirt and in the rocks. So when Jesus said, "If you tell my disciples to be quiet, even the rocks will continue to cry out my glory and my name."
Amen. And that's the message to the world also. That's the message to the world also. Even if the world tells Israel you don't exist, even if the world tells Israel we want to destroy you, God says, "Even if you try to destroy me, the very rocks will cry out my name."
You got
to
tear down the mountains and the valleys.
Is upon Jerusalem.
Yep. Absolutely. If you're going to get rid of God's name, you got to tear down the mountains and the valleys. And God says, "Only I can do that."
And the Jewish people, you know, they wear the tefillin, which is the seven straps over here, seven. Over here, they also make a shin. The end, I learned that as an Orthodox Jew, you have to make the letter shin over here, God's name. And even when they do the priestly blessing, the high priest used to do this, which is a shin. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Mm-hmm. The Lord make. Why? Because God's name is on his forehead. Mm-hmm. It's a foreshadow of the high priest. In Revelation, he's coming back with a robe dipped in white, and on his forehead is the name of God. That's what it's speaking about.
And what does the Antichrist do? He perverts that.
With a
mark.
You've
got to take the mark on your hand and on your forehead.
There's always the counterfeit. There's always the counterfeit.
Always the counterfeit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's all about the name, the shin.
Yeah.
Now, this is all about restoring what had been defiled.
Right.
The original the restoration of the Garden of Eden.
Story of the whole Bible.
And this speaks to the sonship language of the New Testament, where Paul especially writes about how we are to be restored, how we are co-heirs with Christ.
Yes.
So is that the reason for all of this, that God is bringing us back to?
Please let me address that. Yes. Yeah. So in the Old Testament, we hear the term B'nai Elohim, mm-hmm. the sons of God.
Yes.
We find it in five or six different places in that specific language, B'nai Elohim. We find variations of B'nai and Elohim and even B'nai and the Elohim together. But to find that phrase, B'nai Elohim, it's only five or six places, but every time it speaks of the divine realm, the angelic, the heavenly court, okay? The sons of God, B'nai Elohim. Now we come to the New Testament. Now we're fallen. We did have a divine nature. We weren't supposed to die, okay? We were supposed to fellowship in the Garden of Eden and gone in it in, all right? But we lost that. So that's been sealed off, but in the dimension of God's realm, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me in the Garden of Eden. You don't have to wait 10,000 years till we restore it. It's already there. It's already there. You're going with me today." All right? So, but in the meantime, we're going on with life. And then Messiah comes, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. John 1 opens up with, "In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word has become flesh. And He was with God, He is God, and nothing that was created without Him." Who's he talking about? Jesus. You mean He's the Creator? Yes, God in the flesh, among the B'nai Elohim in the divine realm. And then it says, "And the flesh, and He became flesh and dwelt among us." And then it says, "And to those who believed upon Him, to them God gave the right," talking about humans, "to become the B'nai Elohim."
Sons of God.
Right there. That word is so rich. And now some of the modern translations want to change it to, well, the sons and daughters of God or the children of God. And that it still has that meaning, but when you take out that phrase, B'nai Elohim, and you change it, you're losing the concept of what God's telling us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ephesians 3 says, "And our Father, from whom every family in heaven and every family on earth derives its name." God's name is Elohim, capital E. In the mm-hmm. beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. What does he call his children that he creates? Elohim, with a little e. It's like my name. All the children and grandchildren in my family have the name Gallops. They're little Gallops. I'm big Gallops. I'm big daddy that started it all. Okay? God says, "I call you by my name. I call you gods. I call you Elohim."
Mm-hmm.
I call you. My name's Elohim, big E. You're the little Elohim. Okay? So the Elohim that are obedient, okay? And then you've got the earthly realm cut off. But if you're under the blood, he says, "Now I call you."
Amen.
Once again, B'nai Elohim. B'nai Elohim.
Amen. And the Bible and the Old Testament, the Torah and everything, it actually calls the firstborn B'nai Elohim also. Now, who's the firstborn? It's Israel. But when the church gets grafted into Israel, the believers get joined partakers of Israel, they become
B'nai Elohim
because you get grafted into spiritually Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of the firstborn is also called B'nai Elohim.
Yep.
Satan knows it. I want to kill the firstborn. Yeah. I want to kill the firstborn. God says, you want to kill my firstborn Israel? I'm going to kill your firstborn.
All of this that we're talking
about
is in Gods of Ground Zero. The reason is I'm trying to get people to see Ground Zero always has been, always will be, Israel, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, but it started in the Garden of Eden, which is the location in the dimensional realm of the original Garden of Eden. And by the way, I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. You've read the book. Mm-hmm. Dozens of scholars attest to this. The Hebrew language attests to it. The Greek language attests to it.
Well-known
modern scholars.
Commentators on the Bible going back hundreds of years.
So all I'm doing is connecting the dots for today's church and putting it in a readable format. Yeah. Every chapter is 5 pages long.
And if you want to see the place, physically see the place where God has placed his name with Pastor Carl Gallops and Rabbi Zev Parad, join us on the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel in 2019, May 12th through 23rd. We will tour the land. We will see the place where God has placed his name, as well as many of the other sites that are important in the long-running supernatural war that has taken place since Eden, since the Garden, through today, and on through the end of time. We'll see where Jesus ascended in heaven, where he will return, the Mount of Olives. We will see the place where the tabernacle sat for more than 360 years, Shiloh. We will see where Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven, Bethel, and many other places as well. And you'll get an opportunity to hear from these men as well as Sharon and myself as we are coordinating this with Lipkin Tours. If you'd like information, again, the dates are May 12th through the 23rd of 2019. And there's an extension for several days over to Jordan where you can see Mount Nebo, the place from where Moses was able to see the Holy Land. You'll see the plains of Moab, which is relevant to my new book, Last Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Valley of the Travelers, where God has prepared a place for burial after Armageddon. That takes it through the 27th of May. For information and to reserve your place on the tour, they will fill up quickly. Log on to LipkinTours.com, LipkinTours.com. Again, gentlemen, just a fascinating conversation. Any final comments with just about a minute ago, Zev?
El Shaddai, also known as, I think it's Abraham's bosom in English?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, paradise, they be with me.
Paradise. Gan Eden. Gan Eden is known as Abraham's bosom.
Abraham's bosom. The word Shaddai in Hebrew also means bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says Abraham's bosom, it's the place where God's kingdom is. That's why it calls it Abraham's bosom.
Ah.
It's taken from the word El Shaddai, the root word.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we see the name of God.
Hmm. Yeah. Boy, what a way to close it out. The new book, Gods of Ground Zero, Pastor Carl Gallops, the author, Rabbi Zev Parat, Messiah of Israel Ministries. Gentlemen, fascinating conversation.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
We thank you for watching as we keep watching. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.